Night. I didn't think it would be done this early. In other words, we have the results, and most of you probably already know that Barack Obama is re-elected, unless you're listening to Karl Rove on Fox, who's arguing with Fox anchors about waiting to see what happens in Ohio. Perfect time for former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, to join us from Talk Radio News. Bob, you're there in Ohio. Once again, I just said that you have Karl Rove arguing, wait, it can't be four more years for Obama because we don't have all the votes in from Ohio. But mathematically, it's impossible, really, to push Romney over the top. So what happened in Ohio?
Well, if you look at the remaining votes, Kate, Cuyahoga County, very Democrat, with one half left to go, but the suburbs are already in, which would have went sort of Republican. Then you go to the Republican area and only one-third's left. So, you know, I know what's outstanding and 20-some percent, but it's not enough. It's done in Ohio. So Mr. Rove's wrong on waiting. He can wait up all night long. I'm going to bed after I talk to you.
Do you think, let me ask you this, as a politician, you know this, you ran campaigns successfully, so Obama's folks had a great ground game. They spent $100,000 in ads in Ohio to the $40,000 or so the $100,000, they ran $100,000 ads, mm-hmm. and the Romney people ran $40,000 ads. Romney had 40 offices in Ohio. Obama had 131. I heard they got bloody knuckles from knocking on doors.
They did a pretty good job. Calls were still coming in today. Of course, it was Robocall City, and there were a lot of ads. But on top of it, several things. One, the automobile industry and the issue where Romney just didn't answer it correctly was not good. The other thing is that Romney waited a long time to respond to abortion and Bain, a long, long time. When he finally did get it off of that, when the president stumbled the first debate, Romney didn't seize the vision opportunity, I would call it, to cut into the heart of the economic issue in Ohio. President Obama, brought his argument forth about what he was going to do with the economy. So combine that with a good ground game by, I've got to give credit to the Obama campaign. They had a good ground game also. Get out the vote, but also a good grassroots ground game.
Do you think it also helped them going a little bit negative, like with the women comments? In other words, making sure that women knew, saying, hey, listen, this thing with the legitimate rape that's being said, twisting that a little bit, talking about that, throwing that out there, and then talking about the birth control issues and other things that had come up.
You know, I told Ellen Ratner, my friend and boss with Talk Radio News, they were effective. And then, frankly, it was just way overdone in the sense of, ad after ad after ad, people became numb to that. I mean, the issue soaked in, don't get me wrong, but you know how you can overdo something?
Yeah.
And it was getting to that point, Romney did not seize the opportunity to change the issue, and he didn't defend himself on those issues. So eventually, that kind of subsided, the president stumbled in debate, and boom, back came abortion and Bain once again. They threw the ads back up again, and so it refreshed the issue. Yeah,
I think so. So for the Republican, from the Republican point of view, what do they do? Look into the future? How do they reboot? Do they look to some of the younger people, the senator from Texas, 41-year-old Ted Cruz, the Tea Party guy who just got elected, or the senator from Florida, Marco Rubio? What do they do next?
Well, I will predict you that the neocon right will immediately tomorrow say, you see, Romney just wasn't right enough and strong enough early enough. They will say that. Now, that doesn't mean that some of the conservative issues won't appeal to a lot of people. Some conservatives have won office before. If you even just look at George Bush, okay, he still would win. I think they have to look at what direction they want to go, what kind of candidate they get, and also where they want to be on certain issues. Where, in other words, the party cannot be a dictator on how you stand on every single issue. You know, if you don't pass the litmus test, you don't belong to the Republican Party. You could pass 7 of 10, but you got to pass 10 of 10. That attitude, I think, has to be reassessed.
All right, so the probably a re-racking process for the Republicans. For Obama, it's got to be about legacy, right, Bob? Isn't that what it's going to be about these next 4 years? I mean, what do we expect from him?
Well, having served in Congress and looking at the president, he didn't have a runaway victory. He had a victory, a good one, but not a runaway. I think he really has to look at pushing the envelope of extending the hand out there. Now, if they bite the hand that is extended, that's going to be up to the Congress. But I think people are worn down and they want something done. Even after the Gingrich era, Congress, I was there. Democrats worked with Republicans on many, many issues. That has stopped. So I think if the president extends the olive branch first and sincerely and often, if the other side, the Republicans, don't take it, or if the Senate gets obstinate, I think the reaction towards the House and Senate will not be good by voters.
Yeah, I agree with you. Uh-huh. Bob Ney, thanks so much for hanging late with us. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in the future. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so there you go. The former congressman from Ohio breaking it down for us and talking about what happened there. The ground game, that was what was so strong for the Democrats. As I said, one of the big eye-openers to me is when I talked to someone earlier in the night and they threw out the statistic that I just said to Bob, 131 offices were opened for the Obama campaign, just 40 for the Romney campaign, and the amount of ads that were run, what a big difference from the 40,000 Romney ads to the 100,000 ads from the Obama campaign. So much to come during this election coverage here on America Tonight. So far, Obama projected, of course, as the winner with 290 electoral votes, Mitt Romney with 203. They're waiting now in Chicago at Obama's headquarters to get a speech from the president. Meanwhile, Mitt Romney has yet to concede. He has not conceded this election yet. He's expected to possibly do that a little bit later or maybe even wait till the morning, although that would be, I think that'd be a little bit odd. I bet you that he does come out sooner rather than later, but they're still counting the votes. As you heard Bob talk about, Cuyahoga County in Ohio and Dade County in Miami in Florida, huge. They're working on the votes there, so that's another big piece, I guess, of the puzzle if he wanted to wait to concede then. But without a doubt, you do the math, and Obama is elected to his second term. Interesting, because Obama and Romney ran dead even in the final polls that hinted that we might have one of the closest presidential elections in our history, and it would have certainly reflected the giant chasm that we have running all across these United States. There was a heavy turnout in a lot of the parts of the nation in the South and some places in the Northeast. And so very interesting to see how this is unfolded. New Hampshire was the first of 8 states considered up for grabs to go to either candidate. And, of course, that went to Obama. We're going to talk to Jack Heath in New Hampshire, and we've got a whole bunch of other people that we're going to talk to across the country, including Liz Block. She's at the DNC headquarters on the Hill, so hang with us. That's coming up around the bend here on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Campaign coverage here on America Tonight. Barack Obama times two, second time around. Liz Block joins us at DNC headquarters on Capitol Hill. What was the mood like? First of all, Liz, thanks for coming on the show, but what was the mood like heading into the night, and what is it now?
There was never one moment where you couldn't hear people cheering. They were so excited with each state that he picked up, and probably one of the loudest cheers was for Elizabeth Warren winning. It was just truly a positive atmosphere. Everyone felt really confident in victory tonight.
So as you said, you know, all along the way, the mood was upbeat, thinking that the electoral votes are going to be there for the president, right?
Absolutely. And Senator Harry Reid and Patty Murray, who heads up the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, just finished speaking. Harry Reid spoke about how now is the time for them to start working with Republicans now that we have a mandate. Senator Murray said that special interest groups are the ones that lost here. She singled out Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers and Karl Rove, and there were plenty of boos to that. Earlier, Nancy Pelosi was here along with Steve Israel, the chairman of the DCCC, and they were absolutely just as positive, even though it was hours before there was an announcement. Steve Israel said, "We stopped the Tea Party tide," but that was what tonight's election was largely about for the House.
Yeah. So do they, you know, the other big one you mentioned, Elizabeth Warren and the big cheers that went up there, and Claire McCaskill in Missouri retains her seat, because initially it looked like Todd Akin was going to be a much more of a threat. And then, of course, as you already know, the controversial comments, the legitimate rape comments. So I would imagine there was happiness over that as well.
Absolutely. Incredible cheers. And then when Murdoch lost, I overheard someone here that was speaking who said, I guess it was God's will that he did not win. So, I mean, truly tonight, it was upbeat, a sense of humor the entire time. It just, you know, you could feel that they were ready to win.
Yeah. So do the Democrats, do they attribute this to a great ground game being uber super prepared, especially on the presidential side?
Absolutely. That was one of the things that Steve Israel really talked about. In the weekend leading up to the election, they had 2 million doors were knocked on by campaign volunteers, and there were over 4 million calls made. They talked about the fact that, you know, through their volunteers, they had raised $16.2 million more than their Republican counterparts. It was, you know, they really celebrated the groundwork that was happening, the people that were going door to door, explaining the issues, getting people out to vote, especially, you know, when there are so many fears about voter, you know, voting fraud and voter ID laws and suppression.
Yeah. Liz Block, thanks so much for joining us here on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right, America, did you vote, and how do you feel about the results now? Are you elated? Are you depressed? Have you had enough? Are you sick of politics for a while? And what do you think happens now on the Hill? That's what's also important. As I said, heading into the election this time around, not just, you know, remember, it was all about the numbers. And the person who got the 270, Obama has 290, Romney 200 now, let's say. But Obama was definitely projected to win this second term, although it was going to come down to a close race. You heard Bob Ney at the top say it was close. It was close. It was a good effort by Mitt Romney, but there were some stumbles along the way. The auto bailout comments were part of the problem when a few years ago, remember, Mitt Romney said let him go bankrupt, and then there was a giant banner op-ed that said let him go bankrupt. I think that hurt, and there were a few other things that hurt certainly Mitt Romney along the way. And the ground game for the Democrats, David Axelrod and Robert Gibbs, you knew that this was going to be the two-headed monster that they were going to be tough to beat. They did it the first time around. They did it the second time around. They took an entire year and a half and worked on what they were going to look at to try to get the president elected. And sure enough, it happened. So now it's a matter of what happens on the Hill as well. The Democrats held the Senate. The Republicans held the House. This isn't a shocker. We thought this. Elizabeth Warren was one of the bigger stories. We talked about that there, the reaction to Elizabeth Warren getting Scott Brown's seat. And Scott Brown, of course, really a moderate Republican who stepped in when he was elected to fill the shoes of Ted Kennedy, who died and had held that office for so long. So now it's back to the Democrats, that Senate seat there. Claire McCaskill in Missouri retains her Senate seat. So there's some, I think, interesting things that happen along the way. But then the Senate seat in Texas went to the Tea Party candidate Ted Cruz overwhelmingly. He takes that one, much like the senator from Florida, Marco Rubio, who, if I were looking at the Republicans in the future, they're going to be two people that will be heavily looked at, not really considered for a run this time around. Also, Paul Ryan, another Tea Party guy. These are the future rock stars for the Republicans. For the Democrats, now it's about the second term for the pres, and the president vowing, and probably will say this when he speaks to the country, to work with Republicans and Democrats to try to end the logjam on, you know, on the Hill or in Washington. So we'll see how far he gets with that one. I think some people are going to be licking their wounds for a while with this election, not necessarily expecting it to go down just this quickly. And if you look at the numbers, I mean, you know, you look at Ohio, you look at Florida, and in the end, it's just not enough. I have said this a zillion times on America Tonight. You know, without a doubt, it is absolutely about the numbers, but it's not about the popular vote. It's about the electoral vote. That is the number that matters the most, and Obama clearly has that. So anybody thinking that there's a chance that this is going to flip around or something's going to change, you know, I don't think so. We're going to go through all the things that happened on election night, some other big things that also were voted on in other states across the land and the nooks and crannies. We're talking about Colorado becomes the first state to legalize marijuana. What do you think? Boy, we've had a lot of rehab people on the show who think marijuana is a gateway drug and think it would be a disaster to legalize marijuana. But we've also had law enforcement types who say, you know, it's ridiculous. We're wasting too much manpower, especially with these tight budgets, on busting people for small amounts of pot. We need to legalize it. And if we do that, we'll save ourselves some heartache. Plus, in California, if we legalized it there, you know, or anywhere else, you can tax it, and that's a source of income for your state government. Colorado, the first to do it. You can just imagine how much this will ultimately be challenged. There were some other observations I made, you know, throughout the night. As I said, Elizabeth Warren winning the Massachusetts Senate race against Scott Brown, that was, of course, huge. The Todd Akin miss, the congressman from Missouri who ran against the incumbent Claire McCaskill, she retains her Senate seat. 66% of the people in the exit polls in Missouri said the reason that they weren't interested in Todd Akin was because of his comments about legitimate rape. So that cost him. So she hung on to the seat. And other things I think that are worth mentioning here is the Democrat Chris Murphy. There's a lot of people listening to us in Connecticut. Wins the Senate seat of Joe Lieberman. So the Democratic congressman takes over for Joe Lieberman. Linda McMahon from the wrestling world, you recognize the name, right? Spent $42 million to try to win that Senate seat in Connecticut of her own money. It did not pay off. Murphy wins that seat. Then you had the Democratic congressman Joe Donnelly knocking off Republican Richard Murdoch. That was huge in Indiana. Again, there were some comments about rape and, you know, the child of a rape being a gift from God. That was one of the things he was quoted as saying, and that certainly cost him. There were people that were asked in exit polls about Lugar, and if Lugar, the longtime Republican, had been on the ballot, would they have voted for him? And they said overwhelmingly, almost 70% said they would have voted for Lugar. So that was costly in Indiana. And here's the big question. Will we stay a divided nation? Because I think there is a massive, nasty chasm that runs right through the heart of the United States. And it's so bitter. It's like a heated sports rivalry where you just can't shake hands with the other side. You think we'll come to a point where we can shake hands with the other side? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Election coverage continues here on ATN.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the door sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When the next disaster hits and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. Easy as 123 to remember. 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video we've set up for patriots only at 123survivalplan.com. Get inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. This video contains crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any natural or man-made disaster. In the last 6 months, over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen this video. Prepare now. Go to 123survivalplan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123survivalplan.com. Again, that's 123survivalplan.com.
Being an armed citizen means having a gun with you all the time. Carrying a firearm every day requires a holster that is both concealable and comfortable. Whether you choose our Super Tuck Deluxe or Mini Tuck, you'll have the confidence that comes from being discreetly and comfortably armed, prepared to face unforeseen dangers. Crossbreed holsters are handmade in the USA, come with a lifetime warranty, and a 2-week try-it-free guarantee. Order your holster today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This victory belongs to you. You did this. You did this. For every family that has been chipped and squeezed and hammered, we're going to fight for a level playing field, and we're going to put people back to work. To all the small business owners who are tired of the system rigged against them, we're going to hold the big guys accountable.
All right, Elizabeth Warren went after Wall Street, and she wins the Senate seat in Massachusetts, beating Scott Brown. That was one of the big, tight races that people were watching, and one of the main reasons why the Democrats still have the majority now after this election in the Senate. We are waiting to see what happens now from the Romney camp and whether or not they're going to concede or wait till we see what happens with the final votes in Ohio and in Florida. Luke Vargas joins us now. He's at the Romney headquarters in Boston. Hey, Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
What's the mood like there? I can imagine it seems, you know, we're seeing shots of it, and people listening to America Tonight have seen shots of it. It just seems a little glum. Is that accurate?
Very accurate. As you mentioned there about the Elizabeth Warren race, tons of people were watching it, including all the people in the Romney ballroom were watching it on those live television screens. At about 10:50 p.m. this evening, those screens went blank temporarily, and down at the press filing center, a lot of upset reporters as live television was basically turned off, and the biographical Romney video from the RNC came onto the screen. So the campaign was obviously sensing something going wrong nationally as the hopes for Republicans in Massachusetts started to fade.
What are you hearing about Romney conceding or coming down and talking to people or anything like that, or no?
No, I think we're really taking cues from the results in Ohio. As soon as they're sort of confirmed by the Romney people there, we might see a little action here. But, all eyes in Boston seem to be turned out to the heartland.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And so are most of the people then just kind of, as we said, they're glum, but they're still hanging in there. They're not packing it in and leaving, figuring, I'm not going to wait for this one. I'll just read about it. It's time to go home. It's been a long campaign, and I'm ready to hit the trailer. No, they're hanging there for them.
There are a lot of people leaving. I just saw a number of people coming down the escalator from the ballroom upstairs, younger women holding their stilettos in their hands, basically, as they just sort of trump down the really long corridors here at the Boston Convention Center towards the back of the building where the parking lot is. So between them and some reporters who are, hoping to maybe catch the final concession speech from their hotel rooms instead of staying cooped up inside, there's a gradual exodus here at the Romney headquarters.
Well, I know you're not wearing heels, but has it been a long day for you, Luke?
It has been. I'm grateful for this one to be over, but hopefully results are clear in either direction as soon as possible, and we can put this one in the record books.
Yeah, tell us what it was like in the beginning of the day compared to what we just described now.
Well, I ended my day yesterday up in Manchester, New Hampshire, where Romney rallied over 12,000 people at a hockey stadium with Kid Rock, and I was impressed. I've covered this 116th campaign event of the year, covering that one up yesterday in New Hampshire. Kind of thought I was seeing some new energy from the Romney campaign, and if I had to handicap the race this morning, I would have said momentum was shifting in his favor, and maybe races were tightening up. But in New Hampshire, we saw Obama start to pull away and exceed any of those polling averages, and it looks like that trend really played out nationwide. So some of those crowd counts were definitely deceiving down the late stretch.
All right, Luke Vargas, great job. Thanks for joining us on a very long night. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
All right, so you heard Luke say that people were leaving. People are getting on the escalators. They're filing out. They're not going to wait. A lot of them aren't going to wait around to see what happens with Ohio and what happens with Romney. Does he come down? Does he do a concession speech? Or, what happens there? Do they wait till the morning? You still have Florida. If you wanted to throw Dade County into the mix, then that would take a little bit longer. To be sure, here on America Tonight, we're hanging with you, and we'll give you some of the other sights and sounds of things that happen along the way on this election night. I mentioned the Senate and the big races there, and the Senate, now the majority still stays with the Democrats in the House. The majority still stays with the Republicans. So it's the status quo. Does the brawl continue, though, after all this is said and done? Obama's 290 electoral college votes to Romney's 200 made the difference. 270 was the magic number needed to win the White House. And the president really sealed the win with the heartland, looking at the heartland. Ohio is probably going to be the prezes, and Iowa certainly was. New Hampshire and Colorado, four of the nine battleground states that we've been talking about for a long time, where the two were knocking heads a lot and spent a lot of money. You're talking about dueling TV spots, $1 billion. What could you do with $1 billion? Is that crazy that it takes that kind of money in an election? In a country where we've got this incredible deficit and these fiscal cliff woes, that's what we have to spend to get elected. That's just absolutely crazy. It's crazy. So Romney's in Massachusetts. He's in his hotel suite waiting with his family, looking at the results and all that sort of stuff, waiting for Ohio and, I guess, deciding what to do. What a long and grueling bid this has been for the Romneys in this race for the presidency, and to come up with an unsuccessful end to it has to be pretty rough when you think of how much time was invested in and all that other kind of stuff. So Obama wins Nevada and Wisconsin, and here's another fact. You look at Wisconsin, Michigan, and Massachusetts, and you have Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney, so let's take all three of those states as their home states, and they didn't win those. Remember, so much was made when Al Gore didn't win Tennessee. Well, here you go on the flip side of this. They didn't win those three states. And Romney, of course, made a huge last-ditch effort to come up with a big win in Pennsylvania on the last couple of days of his campaign. That didn't pay off. Pennsylvania goes to the Democrats, goes to Barack Obama. Some of the usual spots that are very Democratic, not a surprise, your New Jerseys, your New Yorks, went the way of Obama. Delaware, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Illinois. I mean, this is what was expected, but it was about the numbers in those battleground states that I mentioned that were the difference maker for Obama. So now you look at, in Ohio, the Democratic senator, Sherrod Brown, who really was getting pummeled in the spending department. He was outspent so much that the final number is something like $30 million. $30 million. Wow. And, of course, that was to defeat the state treasurer, Josh Mando. And in Pennsylvania, Democratic Senator Bob Casey also had a little bit of a scare from businessman Tom Smith, who pumped in $17 million of his own money. I mentioned Linda McMahon and her race for Senate in Connecticut. She probably spent the most of anybody out there. As I already said, the number was a staggering $47 million. Can you imagine $47 million? So you look at the $30 million and the $17 million, and that pales in comparison, certainly, by a long shot. It definitely pales. In Florida, as we're waiting for some of the Dade County to be counted, a Democratic Senator Bill Nelson returns in his bid for a third term. He held off a little bit of a challenge from the Republican Connie Mack, and there was a lot of spending against Nelson early going in this race. I can remember the time I spent in Florida seeing a lot of ads, but it wasn't to be. The moderate Democrat Nelson was huge at fundraisers and had a lot of appeal across the board with Democrats, and even with a few of the Republicans who leaned a little bit more moderate in that state. In West Virginia, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin won a full term, even though his state went very heavy for Mitt Romney. And you could say he kind of, in a way, dodged a bullet, but Manchin is popular, really kind of on both sides, so maybe that wasn't necessarily such a surprise. Tennessee gave Republican Senator Bob Corker a second term. Wyoming voters did the same for Senator John Barrasso. And Republican Roger Wicker got another term in Mississippi. We've had Roger Wicker on the show a couple of different times. In North Carolina, voters there elected their first, check this out, Republican governor in 2 decades. They did that. 2 decades. How about that? And the victory by former Charlotte Mayor Pat McCrory came 2 years after the GOP snagged 6 governor's offices in the midterm elections. So that gave 29 governorships to 20 for Democrats and 1 independent. If you're counting entering the elections in which 11 gubernatorial races were to be decided. So when everything was down, everything was counted, Republicans could have had as many as 33 governorships, but it was 29, the most since the 1920s. Who knew that factoid? And 1 more than they had in the 1990s. So that was pretty interesting heading into this. Coming up on the flip side, I mentioned New Hampshire and what happened in New Hampshire. And we're going to talk to Jack Heath, who was there, and said he was shocked by some of the results that came in, not expecting to see the numbers that they saw in New Hampshire. Hang with us, everyone. More election coverage coming your way.
big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
In more ways than one, it's going to be a November to remember. Going on now, and just in time for the holidays, Emergency Essentials offers a huge Mountain House sale only at BePrepared.com. All Mountain House cans are 20 to 32% off. For example, a can of Mountain House Chili Mac, regularly $25.49, is now only $17.24. Scrambled eggs with bacon, usually $31.89, now only $21.56. And save 26% on a three-day emergency kit. Or save $123 on a one-month supply of freeze-dried and dehydrated foods. Gift shoppers, check out the Katadyn Vario water filter at 26% off. Or get special pricing on the Gerber suspension multi-tool and the Volcano stove collapsible cooking combo. For details, call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and emergency essentials low price guarantee. But hurry, the November to Remember sale ends November 30th. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or beprepared.com.
Election road, and we go to New Hampshire. Jack Heath, our pal there, joins us. And Jack, you and I chatted a little bit about what we were seeing heading into this. And New Hampshire, it depended on which pundit you were listening to, or which Democratic strategist, or which Republican strategist you were talking to. No doubt politics, pure politics across the board. But tell everyone the results for the state of New Hampshire.
New Hampshire right now, as we head into the, you know, we're not quite at midnight hour, but we have about half the state reporting, half the precincts. A tighter win, but the state was projected earlier correctly for the president. President Obama wins New Hampshire, 52-47% margin right now, 146,000 votes to 132,000. What's interesting, though, in the race for governor, which was an open race, we have two-year gubernatorial terms, a four-term Democratic incumbent not running. The Democratic candidate, Maggie Hassan, has won the race by almost the exact same margin that President Obama won New Hampshire's election over the Republican challenger, who had pretty good name recognition. And the other interesting factor is we only have two congressional districts in New Hampshire, but in District 2, it looks like the Republican incumbent Charlie Bass in District 2 goes down to the Democratic challenger Ann Custer by the exact same margin that Obama beats Romney in New Hampshire, right around that 52-44. And in the first district, incumbent Frank Genta, Republican congressman, is in the fight for his life. It's a dead heat, 48%, 48%. We are looking at a potential Democratic sweep in New Hampshire. I did not see it. I thought the independents would break slightly right. And the polls tightened at the end. They broke slightly left. This is a swing that we have not seen in New Hampshire since 2008.
Yeah, what do you attribute that to, Jack? You had your finger on the pulse. What was happening there with the Democrats?
Kate, I have a house full of friends. My wife's in the other room. We have neighbors that are into this stuff. We, you know, politics are a contact sport in New Hampshire. It's like watching the New England Patriots. And I can't tell you what happened tonight. No one can. It just is a very strange thing. I thought that the record high turnout in the independents would break slightly right. Apparently, President Obama's message and the Democrats, maybe Governor Lynch and others, just sort of carried the day. I'm at a loss to explain the sweep. I could have seen one or two of these. I did not see a sweep here in New Hampshire.
All right, one last one, because Massachusetts is practically the stepchild of New Hampshire, or vice versa, depending on who you're talking about or who you're talking to. But Senator Elizabeth Warren, that's what she will be called, beating Scott Brown. I guarantee that there was some hooting and hollering in your living room. What was the reaction in New Hampshire to that?
Well, a friend of mine, Andy Card's brother, Brad Card, good friend. Andy Card was George W. Bush's chief of staff. Brad Card, very close to Scott Brown, was up in New Hampshire doing some media interviews, staying with me. He went down to Boston tonight. He said it was like a big balloon with the air coming out at the Brown headquarters. You know, he could feel it. They could feel it. Pretty depressing surprise that it was a pretty clear win for Elizabeth Warren. And you know what's interesting? Elizabeth Warren, Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire, governor-elect, Ann Custer, winning the second district, I think. No one's projected it, but I'll project it on your show. And I think Carol Shea Porter may actually knock off the Republicans. So you have a cluster of women office holders there, Democrats. They kind of ran the same campaign against the Republican challengers, saying they're going to take away your rights, take away your right to for an abortion, take away your right to choose, some other things, and it worked. You know, a lot of the people thought it was negative. A lot of people didn't like the ads, but I think they were effective, and I think it apparently worked, because Scott Brown was not a right-wing radical extremist.
Yeah.
The way they painted in the ads, he's pretty independent. Yes, in fact, I worked with his wife at Channel 5 WCVB in Boston. Scott Brown, pretty popular guy, couple of daughters, but they managed to put him into that right-wing box of, you know, wants to take away a woman's right to breathe, walk, run, whatever it takes. And it worked. It worked. It worked in New Hampshire, too. And sometimes negative advertising works. So no whining, but a surprise. I think people felt that Scott Brown had a chance to hold on and win that race. Not the case. And in New Hampshire, it looks like a big Democratic win tonight for the president and the Democrats. And that was not quite expected.
Yeah. Jack Heath, thanks. Excellent job. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, Kate. Take care.
All right, momentarily, Mitt Romney is expected to give his concessions speech in Boston. It'll be interesting to hear what Mitt Romney has to say. As many people who have left the ballroom, there are still plenty of people on hand to hear him. The questions now will be in analyzing what happened, what cost the Republicans this one. Was it the strength of Obama's ground game and the team around him and some of the things that happened along the way? Or was it some of the missteps by the Republicans in this campaign season that were just too costly? The Republican parties will rally and they'll try to figure out what it was. And most likely, I think they're going to blame it on the fact that Mitt was too moderate. And that was part of the problem, not conservative enough. And that's why he didn't appeal enough to some of the big base of conservatives in the Republican Party. That'll be one thing that will come out. how would Romney actually perform as a president? That was something that happened and came up in the exit polls, rather, as to what we could expect from Mitt Romney. Maybe there was a question mark as to what you would get with Romney. Although I think in the end, I mean, he really did run a pretty... He seems like a good enough guy, and as far as the Republican nomination, he ran a decent enough campaign, but I don't know that he articulated himself enough. Here's Mitt Romney with his concession speech.
Onto the stage in Boston to speak with his supporter, Mitt Romney.
Thank you. Thank you, my friends. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Called President Obama to congratulate him on his victory. His supporters and his campaign also deserve congratulations. I wish all of them well, but particularly the President, the First Lady, and their daughters. This is a time of great challenges for America, and I pray that the President will be successful in guiding our nation. I want to thank Paul Ryan for all that he has done for our campaign. And for our country. Besides my wife, Ann, Paul is the best choice I've ever made. And I trust that his intellect and his hard work and his commitment to principle will continue to contribute to the good of our nation. I also want to thank Ann, the love of my life. She would have been a wonderful first lady. She has been that and more to me and to our family and to the many people that she has touched with her compassion and her care. I thank my sons for their tireless work in behalf of the campaign and thank their wives and children for taking up the slack as their husbands and dads have spent so many weeks away from home. I want to thank Matt Rhodes and the dedicated campaign team he led. They have made an extraordinary effort, not just for me, but also for the country that we love. And to you here tonight, and to the team across the country, the volunteers, the fundraisers, the donors, the surrogates, I don't believe that there's ever been an effort in our party that can compare with what you have done over these past years. Thank you so very much. Thanks for all the hours of work, for the calls, for the speeches and appearances, for the resources and for the prayers. You gave deeply from yourselves and performed magnificently. And you inspired us and you humbled us. You've been the very best we could have imagined. The nation, as you know, is at a critical point. At a time like this, we can't risk partisan bickering and political posturing. Our leaders have to reach across the aisle to do the people's work. And we citizens also have to rise to the occasion. We look to our teachers and professors. We count on you not just to teach, but to inspire our children with a passion for learning and discovery. We look to our pastors and priests and rabbis and counselors of all kinds to testify of the enduring principles upon which our society is built.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you're able to absorb amino acids and the less you're able to repair the 75 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easy to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.